Okay.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lynn Free, and we are doing our Monday night conference, which is a simulcast between a telephone conference line and a internet broadcast. And for the next hour, the less that happens here, the better it is. Maya asked me last week, she says, Lynn, how can you tell the same story over and over again and make it different every time? Can you tell me that, Maya? Now she's muted. She won't talk. I'm giving her an opportunity. Well, this is a different kind of show. Yes, hi, Maya.
Hi.
I'm already on to the next thing. You're too slow. Get your finger on that mute button. Okay, go ahead. Say something.
Well, I can just put it into different words, like what you said, is that it's interesting to listen to the same stories over and over again. It's always a little bit different, and you are creating something significantly different with each time.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say any great things about me? I'm going to give you all an opportunity. No.
You seem to be a very kind and gentle soul.
Who said that?
Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
And this is the last chance to say something nice about me. Everyone in the world is listening. We're on the radio now. So this is my chance to get it down. Who wants to say something nice? It's got to be spontaneous. It's got to come from your heart. Unless, of course, it doesn't.
I just appreciate your commitment to what you're providing. That really does come across. There's a real commitment and a sense of humility around what you do.
Thank you so much. Well, you know what? After 6 years of doing this and figuring out how to do it and kind of realizing what I was actually doing, I mean, it took me a while to figure it out. Am I really doing this? And then I said, if I really am, I didn't have any choice but to be committed. And committed there might be a double entendre. Committed where would be a good question. So far, I've managed to do this and not be committed to any institutions, I have to say. We had a couple of people just check in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Perry from Oregon. I'm sorry I'm late.
Well, Perry, we've been waiting for you. Everyone's been saying, where's Perry?
Hey, you've been talking behind my back. Thank you.
That's right. Is anyone else there? Anyone? There were two beeps. Anyone else like to say their name in the city? No. Okay. So, you know, a lot of times people are trying to be interesting and they've got the latest news and they've got the latest gossip and they've got what's going on in the government and there's all these really sophisticated messages and stuff. And sometimes people think, well, what's your message when you're talking to all these voices? What's your message? And I don't think there's an answer to that because it's not a message. There's a lot of information, and the information can be very intriguing and fascinating. But out of all of this channeling and all of these conversations with all these beings in other realms, and, of course, writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and studying the Ra channelings and the David Wilcock channelings, it all comes down to, now if I say love, it's a cliche, so I won't say love. It all comes down to group consciousness. Not as an idea, but as an experience. We hear people opening doors in the background. That's just right on cue. We hear you. It's okay. No, I can mute everybody, but sometimes the odd bit of noise is kind of interesting. So it's group consciousness and learning how to participate in group consciousness. And that even though I am talking, I am the speaker here, I'm really you reflecting back to you with me added to it because I exist also. And if I can hold that energy, then what happens is we end up moving into a group consciousness, and that includes all the people that are listening. They can get drawn into it. Now, if they're waiting for something to be really interesting, then their mind might block them from that experience because they want their mind to be fascinated. But fascinating a mind is not the same as creating group consciousness. Group consciousness, let me mute everybody for a moment.
All callers are muted.
Okay, group consciousness is an experience. And the interesting thing about it is that if you establish group consciousness that has a very high purpose attached to it, it never stops. Even when the group leaves, the consciousness stays. This week, I've been repeating a quote from the I Ching that I read 25 years ago, and somehow I read it and it resonated with me, and I had never experienced the wisdom, that kind of wisdom, until I read the I Ching, and it was about holding together, the idea of holding together. Now, group consciousness does not always mean necessarily positive, because even the way that I Ching said it was, thieves can hold together. Anybody can hold together for a common purpose. And, you know, there can be a group consciousness, but when the common purpose goes away, so does the holding together. Because the people are only together for some outer reason. And when people hold together for what the I Ching calls inner truth. Now, of course, what is inner truth? That's a whole story in of itself. But they use the word inner truth. When people hold together for inner truth, then the holding together never stops. So, it's why when sometimes we have a channeling with the soul groups, the Elohim and the Ra group, it's why they can stop the channeling and say, we leave you, but we do not leave. And that means our relationship with them is not from this realm. It's based on inner truth. And that each of us has a hologram, an energy form. And the hologram is not limited. And I guess in its largest sense, the hologram can be as big as the entire universe. Of course, probably the only one that has that on the line might be Terry. And that's why she's so dizzy down here, because she's walking around with this big hologram. And when I wouldn't say it's as big as the universe, I've never asked, I have no confirmation, but I suppose people that are able to channel have big holograms. Well, channel group souls. I mean, people channel, you know, dead people. They channel entities that are closer in. So most people don't channel group souls. That's more of an unusual quality in this realm. But when somebody channels a group soul, it means their hologram is fairly big, their energy body. And so each of us has the potential to expand our hologram. And it's really something that you have to learn. And when we establish a group consciousness on this call, we are establishing an expanded hologram. We're establishing an experience of it so that you can now remember what that feels like. And since it's my hope that this call, it's my intent, is based on inner truth, which means it's based on nothing more than sharing the love of the moment and being of service to the universe, to the one infinite creator, that sharing this hologram that's based on inner truth then gives everyone a reference point. And maybe the first time, their mind is going in and out. Did I really happen? Did I really go there? And then they go back to the mind and they're thinking about it, and they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the thing is, every time we come on this call, that energy is present. And the people that can feel it keep coming back because it's hard to get a reference point for that energy in one's life. And the goal is for one to get a reference point, and then the next step is for one to be a reference point, which means that you can hold that energy of inner truth, of that expanded hologram, for other people so that they can expand. And the idea is, if enough people do this, we suddenly change a city, we change a household, we change a town, we change a country, we change a world, because it's contagious. Because on some level, most people, I won't say all, but most people dream about this experience and wish they could have it, and they don't know where to get it. They've read about it. When you read about everything is love or we're all one, people can make a mental notation of that. But where do you go to have that experience? Where do you take it out of your mind and internalize it on a cellular level so that you can live in the experience of oneness? So the purpose of this call is to be a reference point of oneness. And the people on this line who have been coming back, over and over again, are now doing that, most of them, many of them, more than they ever dreamed of in their lives. And, you know, there's nothing to join, there's nothing to belong to, there's just learning the reference point and anchoring it in yourself so you can be like a repeater station and repeat it to those other people that you contact. It's not about convincing them. It's not about talking to them. It's there's something about it that communicates non-verbally. Now, some people may not be interested in communicating verbally about it. It might be too catalytic, but they can still reap the benefits. They can feel the energy and become uplifted. And over a period of time, things change, things shift. And it's subtle, but it's very, very real. And, of course, we're creating a hologram that actually goes through the veil. And that's fairly unusual to have a hologram that goes through the veil, because the veil kind of compresses us, and most people are compressed by that veil into a, how would you say it, a contracted consciousness. And, you know, there's a relationship between all of this and DNA. Some of you who have been reading a lot of the New Age stuff are starting to understand that relationship. And according to my channel sources and other people's as well, the human was actually created kind of in a laboratory by certain aliens on this planet, and they were created to be slaves, and they were bred to have only two strings of DNA out of 12 open. Because with those strings closed, it allowed those beings with more strings open to boss the humans around and make them dependent. And this is, according to my best understanding, the nature of how humans got started. Now, they knew one of the things that happens is that DNA is activated by this energy that we feel on these lines. When we open up to the energy of the cosmos and it's flowing through our bodies, we are impacting our DNA. Now, there's a certain amount of anecdotal evidence that it works this way, and there's a certain amount of scientific evidence. The anecdotal evidence would be looking at people who love each other. And so often when people are truly loving each other, truly in each other's energy fields, they start to look the same or similar. Or even when their features are quite different, there becomes a similarity to their features. And also people and their dogs. Probably more people love their dogs than their partners, but, you know, if you happen to be lucky enough to have a partner that you love, I'm going to get in trouble for this show. I'm not censoring myself. You might end up looking like them, and dogs are easy to love, and so oftentimes the people and their dog have the same expressions. So that's because they're in each other's energy fields, and they're impacting each other's DNA. And so there was the Russian experiment that was in The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, where the Russians actually could project this energy, which they called toroid wave energy. It's the energy of the universe. And they projected it onto a duck for a certain amount of time. And it was learned that when you would project this energy, it would be like a computer that would memorize a program. So the energy memorized the DNA of the duck and then moved it and pointed it to a chicken. And when the chicken laid the eggs, the chicks had web feet. So there was a transference of DNA from the duck to the chicken. And this is how DNA changes. And we're in this place right now where, because we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, there's more of this energy in our space than there has ever been in 75,000 years. And that means we have the opportunity to accelerate our own evolution by allowing this energy to flow through our systems, which then starts opening up these strings of DNA. So that's why when you start becoming an anchor for this new energy, and as your body starts to reprogram itself to anchor the energy to your body, and reprogram might be another way of saying that your DNA strings are starting to open up, then you start walking around and everyone else feels that energy radiating from you, and their DNA strings start to open up. And then you get a whole... That's why spiritual groups live in communes sometimes, because if they're a true spiritual group, then there is a group energy that is established all the time in that group. And so they can evolve faster than if they're all living separately, because they can radiate that energy back and forth to each other and speed up this DNA evolutionary process. And so we're learning how to do that without living in the same place. We're learning how to do it over a telephone line or over a conference call or over the internet. Because what's happening is, as you listen, now I'm having a lot of help when I do this. I couldn't do this with my personality. I couldn't do it if I was trying to be interesting with my personality. I've learned, and of course those of you who have tracked my work know, that in the higher form of oneness, up the ladder of the hologram, there are these group souls. And that they're not separate from us. We're part of them and they're part of us. And that I become somewhat of a, Terry said I shouldn't use the word expert. So I don't know what the right word is. I've certainly become familiar with their energies and with their, and you know, speaking with them. I've had ongoing conversations for 6 years, and they're coming through the people in my personal life. They're coming in my dreams. They come through my books. I end up meeting people and they're channeling. So it's kind of like wherever I go, there they are. And I've had the opportunity to ask questions and reconcile the energies that I was feeling with questions. So I kept learning how these energies work. So when I'm on this call, I know they're paying attention to me. But they're not only paying attention to me, they're paying attention to you. And when they pay attention, it's not like they're looking at you and thinking about you and drawing conclusions. When they pay attention, if you are open, if you're not afraid, if you learn to trust it, they can connect with your hologram, your energy field that you can't even see. But that's is closer to the realm where they exist in. So they can connect with that energy. And when they do, if you start to pay attention, you can feel them. You can feel their presence. Now, you know, it's very hard to put that in words because it's not an experience that people are commonly connected with. So when you say feel their presence, what do you mean by feel their presence? People who are intuitive or psychic or can see auras, this is very easy for them because their energy field is usually outside of their body anyway, so they can tell when there's changes of the energy field. And some of you on the line might be feeling that, and this may be a new experience for you. So just to, like, tune into it, that's when the energy of the veil starts breaking down, and you're connecting through the veil to these energies. And the energies are intelligent. They're intelligent energies. They don't have bodies. They have huge intelligence, and they actually want to help us. It's my take on it. They want to help us. They want to connect with us. And if they didn't connect with us, we couldn't evolve. We would be stuck here in this realm, maybe forever. This realm is a very difficult realm, and the group soul that we identify as the Elohim group soul talks about gross repeating cycles, that we don't know how long those gross repeating cycles actually are. I never asked specifically, but it seems like some of us here in physical bodies might go back to the beginning of the universe. Beginning of a realm, and that we've been reincarnating ever since. And originally it wasn't as bad as it was now. it was, that's something that grew over time. And it grew over time because in the spirit world, there's no division. People can flow into each other. There's no need for physical things in the spirit world. There's just energy. And so energy forms can experience each other. But because in this realm, there's a division. In a physical plane, there's a you and there's a me. There's my bank account and your bank account. It became advantageous to have some kind of hierarchy so that, just like I said, humans were bred to be slaves. It's like there's those in this realm that want the life of Riley, and it was to their advantage to create circumstances where they could have it and that they could create other people giving their energy to them. Now, you know, what we're doing on this line is we are giving our energies to each other, but we're doing it out of total free will. And so where free will is the key to the difference between what's spiritual and what's self-serving. Because within the giving of energies to each other, there's a beautiful co-creation that we all share. And because it's free will, the energy sustains. As soon as it loses its free willingness, the energy contracts, and it doesn't sustain. It comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. It's kind of like, I'll give you an example. In relationships, oftentimes, there is this romantic phase where no one knows what's going on, and no one knows if they're going to go to bed with the person that night or not. And it's all like, you know, there's kind of a courtship going on. And the moment people get together, usually they feel great. They feel great the next day. And there's this really, really uplifted energy that is experienced by the parties that are in love or are starting to have an intimate connection of a high level. But very rarely does that last. And the reason it doesn't last is because on some level or another, that was based on free will, and the free will usually gets lost fairly quickly, and the relationship falls into a more mundane pattern where, well, you're going to work and I'm home, I'm bringing up the kids, and we got all these responsibilities. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have responsibilities. You can still have responsibilities and not lose the romance. You can do that. But most often in this realm, the relationship does not sustain. When you have people coming together sustaining a co-creative relationship, it is so powerful that it changes the world. And I usually look at the Beatles as my example of a group that changed the world because they could sustain co-creation amongst them all. That doesn't mean they all got along all the time, but within their creative process, I think there was long periods where ego did not prevail. Like the idea of the way John and Paul wrote songs. Sometimes John would be the major writer of a song, sometimes Paul would be the major writer, sometimes they would be the only writer, and yet every time it was John and Paul who got the credit for the song, and they didn't care who got the credit. And that is a good signpost, not caring about the credit. When you care about the credit, you're already losing your, what was the word I used from the I Ching earlier? The highest purpose, the reason people come together that is not for a common purpose, but for something, inner truth. If you're following inner truth, you do not care about recognition. You do not care about who's looking at you. You do not care about what people think. You follow your path. You follow your heart. And your heart leads you from one thing to another. As soon as you start thinking about how people are reacting, you lose it. And, of course, all of us have that propensity to fall into that. And it's a good thing to watch and notice. Don't worry about what people are thinking. And because, God, you know, if you do something publicly and you screw up, everyone's going to watch you. They're going to remember you forever. What are they going to think of me? Well, you know, now you're operating in fear-based. You're fearful of what people think and their opinion of you. And, of course, fear is the antithesis of love. And the more fear you have, the less you're open to this energy, the less you're opening up your DNA strings, and the more you're enslaved by this realm. And, of course, that is what the negative would like you to be, enslaved. And the slavery has much more to do with you and your relationship to this energy than anything else. And anyone who frees themselves can suddenly operate and act in this realm in a manner that they're coming from their center. They're coming from their heart. They're radiating into the world. They're changing things. Now, you know, that is what we're learning on this line, how to do that, every time. And we have this unusual opportunity to learn how to connect with these group soul energies and make friends with them. And now you don't have to worry about finding the love of your life or something that's missing out in the world. You're learning to develop this inner relationship with this energy that is conscious, that's alive, that can give you dream messages. And even if you don't get verbal messages, you can start sensing their presence around you. And know you're not alone. And in some ways, the presence of their energy has advantages, some advantages over human relationships, because they will never abandon you. Once you get at them, they're yours and you're theirs. Another thing is that when you die, that connection still prevails. It's the energy in other realms that will create certainly a better death experience and a higher one. And, of course, we talk about graduating from this realm. It creates the opportunity for that circumstance of graduating so you don't have to be a cycle repeater. Now, let's see what time it is. It is 6:40. We're supposed to go. I think Seth said I could go another till 7 o'clock, and oftentimes I just keep talking, and everyone says, how come you talk so much and didn't give Terry a chance to talk? And, of course, Matthew said, whenever I talk, I'm always channeling, but if I don't say that, then I don't get exalted, so that the channeling becomes special when it comes through the person that's the channel. Now, am I always channeling? I don't know. I'm just, you know, I know I pick up on energies, and I know I can feel your energies, and I can feel their energies. I don't have the experience of bringing through data that's outside of my conscious mind. Like, for example, both Daphne and Terry have both brought through data, things that they couldn't have known in their conscious mind, that had to come from a source that knew about data that their conscious mind didn't know about. And that's not something that I experienced myself doing. although occasionally that might happen in my dream messages. But let's take a moment and, you know, once I let them talk, then I've kind of given up my stage. It's hard to come back and upstage them because, you know, they upstage me. So let me see if there's anything I want to say before this occurs. And I will say that you guys that have been coming in on this line over and over again every week, you know, coming in when there was only two people, when there was only three people, when there was everyone's doubt meter was really up high, is this really happening? I really give you my thanks because you hung in and you helped me and yourself learn how this works. This is not anything that I could have learned in a book or even in a channeling. I mean, they didn't tell me this kind of how to do this kind of stuff. They'd answer questions, but it's something that I only learned by doing it over and over again and feeling the consciousness of everyone on this line who was helping to create the space where we could feel each other, even though we're thousands of miles apart, learning how to connect our consciousnesses over great distances in a way that it was unmistakably happening. And I hope there's some of those people on BBS radio that are also connecting and feeling that. Some of the people that tune in for the first time, if you're highly in your mind, you might still be in your mind. You might not have opened yourself up to the energies. And I would say that you may come back for a few weeks and see if that happens for you. And if not, then probably this is not necessarily going to be your most favorite show, and go listen to somebody else. But for those of you that are feeling the energy and opening up, then we are doing these conference calls every night of the week. We are doing a Wednesday night call where there's live channeling and you can ask questions to Matthew. We're doing a lot of things because bringing this energy together as a group energy is extremely important. It's not just a phenomenon. It's important because not only does it change us, not only does it open up our DNA strings, it also changes the earth. It brings energy to the earth. It can stop an earthquake. It also opens up to the group soul energies who can do more interventions based on how many people are open up to them. And it turns us, stops us from being an individual person that's lonely and isolated into the experience of being part of the flow of creation. And not as a mental construct, but actually feeling it and knowing that you have the power to add your contribution to this realm in the sense of co-creating the energy from other realms and transmuting it through your body and expressing it out. And that is, it doesn't seem like a lot. It almost seems like nothing is happening. And yet, from my study of all of this and observing it, it's huge. Because this realm is started on other realms. And when you go to the place that's prior to the physical, and your consciousness starts to anchor there, then your intentions become part of the recreation of this realm. And when you start to observe that, you know it's going on, and that you are a part of God, or all that is, and you no longer have forgotten it. And you're in the middle of the experience of it, and you're sharing it with other people, and there's validation. So, on that note, let's take a moment and see if we have a source. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Do they want to say hello?
Yes.
They do? I don't think I need to call in the light, but I will if you want me to. You want me to?
Yes.
Okay. So calling in the light is our ritual, which is just formalizing what we're actually already doing. And it's just a group of words that says, here's what's happening. And so we've done it enough so that when we say the words, it strengthens the experience. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy. That means that all of us on this line and all of us that are listening, if you free willingly choose to participate, we're going to blend the energies that exist on the other side of the veil so that we experience oneness. And if you shut your eyes, some of you are going to feel a light all around your third eye and your crown chakra. And that is part of the one of the signs that we're actually doing this, that that's actually happening. And so now I'm going to turn it over to Terry, and we're going to have one of our sources, who will probably be part of the Ra group, Ra'an, speak to us.
We greet you this evening in the love light of the one infinite creator. We, as we view the country tonight, we see a slight shock and numbness of the individuals concerning the economic scene. Many do not know exactly what to expect, and our leaders are trying to cover their tracks. We expect that there will be more definite reactions within the next few days. We look on the situation with a gentle caring. We do not enter our energy other than that into the free will decisions of the people, as adjustments are needed to take into account the tremendous amount of fraud and other activities that have gone on in the creation of money. We are there for you, and things will adjust. They may go through some hard times or lesser hard times, depending upon your preparedness. You would be wise to prepare your families. As the Mormons do, they lay away a stock of food and a resource so that they can become self-sufficient and depend upon each other in their groups. It is good to form groups and to have friends that you can rely on and trust. That is one of the reasons we like this group so much, as it is reaching out to people all over the country and will more and more provide them with an opportunity to connect and to make themselves strong within their communities. Our energy and love light, there is no words for it. We could say that it follows you, only that is not the correct word. It is simply there for you, and you can access it by your attention to it. Take a minute now and feel this love light energy as it is surrounding the individuals, the ones that are on the radio. Have a little bit more of a distant connection because of the radio station. However, if you set that aside within your psychic sense, you can feel us also. We are with you and for you and love you. Adonai, we leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. Okay, I've been sufficiently upstaged. And, Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Was that Ron?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, when these voices speak, and when somebody hears it for the first time, I think that it's not unusual to be skeptical. I would have been. Or wonder if the person is speaking from their own making it up. Now, if you recall, I talked about the idea of oneness and the connection of oneness with the energy, so that, in fact, the person who channels, especially when they're channeling a group soul energy, it almost feels to them, we've talked about this, it feels like they're making it up because they've become one with that other energy in the other realms. So if you're one with something, it feels like your own thoughts. It feels like it's coming from your own consciousness, except maybe a little smarter than you normally are in your normal thinking, and more cogent. Through all my experiences of having these discussions, we've learned that Ra'an identifies himself as part of the Ra group, and that the Ra group is composed of millions or billions of individual souls that once were like us, that once had physical bodies, that went through their process of evolution for, I think it could be millions of years, and ended up graduating from this realm. And so this is the way the universe works. This is a secret that's not actually very commonly put out because it's one that's hard to validate. And in my case, I believe I've got it down because I have cross-referenced so many different channelings that I think that this is the way it works. Well, if it isn't, if I'm making a mistake, then that's fine. It's, how can I say it? specifics of the accuracy of the information are not as important as being able to feel the energy, to feel the connection. And when you feel the connection, whether you call it a group soul, whether you call it God, whether you call it Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter because you're feeling it. And it's the feeling of the energy that transforms your DNA, that uplifts you from two strings to more strings. And you don't need to know all the details when you can feel the energy. Although for some people, the details make sense in this case. And in fact, many people have told me that we are presenting probably one of the most sensible understandings for the greater universe and the way it evolves. So on that note, I'm going to, we're coming to an end of our time on BBS. I thank you all who are joining us on BBS. If anyone wants to email me and join us on our telephone conference line, usually after we disconnect from BBS, we do ascending of the light, where we take our hologram, this energy we've created, and send it to people that we know, to circumstances that need upliftment. And many people at different times have had experiences, little miracles or big miracles happen as a result of this. So you're all welcome to join us. You're all welcome to get on our schedule and find out about our Wednesday night Matthew call, which is a live channeling, and some of the other activities we do. And we do a lot of activities over the conference line, and most of them are free. And a lot of people that have been paying attention to this work have volunteered and are helping to support that. So if you're in a place in your life where you have a hard time staying in this energy, where you get lonely, where you feel separated, then there's an ongoing sense of connection that you can have every day right here, and you're welcome to partake of it. And if it doesn't work for everybody, but if it works for you, it works. So on that note, Seth said to go to 7:02, and I think it's 6:59. Well, we can end it now. We'll let the guy who's coming on BBS radio next come up. And thank you again. My website is returnofedgar.com or theinsidescoop.org. We have our message a day daily message in your email, which you can find at either of those websites. And I'm going to take a moment and say again good night to BBS. And of course, I never know when we're off of BBS, so we'll just wait a moment.